Welcome to the Dry Bones Ministries podcast, where we strive to provide great preaching and teaching so that listeners will discover or rediscover the goodness, truth, and beauty of our Catholic faith. If you are interested in supporting the work we are doing, visit us at drybonespgh.org or follow us on social media at drybonespgh. Thanks for joining us. We hope that you're inspired, uplifted, and encouraged. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Dry Bones Ministries special podcast series on 33 Days to Merciful Love. My name is Father Adam Potter, and today is day 22. We're into the fourth week of the consecration and entering into the darkness. Let's pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and kindle in them the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who have taught the hearts of the faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant that in the same Spirit we may be truly wise, and ever rejoice in his consolation. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Week 4, Into the Darkness. Introduction. After making her offering to merciful love, St. Therese was filled with consolation. She describes the feeling, quote, "Ah, since the happy day, it seems to me that love penetrates and surrounds me, that at each moment this merciful love renews me. Oh, how sweet is the way of love." End quote. In fact, the year she made her offering truly was her year of mercy. We can call it that not only because she offered herself to merciful love and experienced its powerful effects, but also because she spent the whole year writing the first installment of her autobiography, called Manuscript A. That work, which she began in obedience to her superior, Mother Agnes, helped her to see more clearly than ever God's tender mercies enveloping her whole life. In fact, it made her so filled with confidence in God's love for her that she concluded the manuscript as follows. Quote, "How will this story of a little white flower come to an end? I don't know. But what I am certain about is that God's mercy will accompany her always." End quote. Now, we know how Therese's story came to an end. From Good Friday, 1896, until her death on September 30th, 1897, she was immersed in darkness. Nevertheless, her trust in God's mercy during that time and God's faithfulness to her became the confirmation of her little way. This week, we'll explore the role that darkness plays in living it out. Day 22, The Darkness of Sin. One difficulty people often have with embracing the little way is that Therese wasn't much of a sinner. For instance, they say, "How can I relate to a nun who died at the age of 24 and whose confessor solemnly declared that she never committed a mortal sin?" Sure, she describes herself as full of weakness, imperfections, and faults, but those don't seem to include deliberate venial sins and certainly not mortal sins. So she doesn't really know the darkness of sin. I can't relate to her. There's some truth to this objection. Although Therese certainly felt capable of committing grave sin, she believed that God's mercy had preserved her from it. Also, one could easily conclude that her venial sins were not deliberate. For instance, let's hear some of the sins of she who sees herself as weakness itself. They included impatience with a sister, a missed opportunity to make a sacrifice, aversion to a medical drink, an interior movement of curiosity toward a magazine. Surely these aren't the kinds of sins that thrust most people into discouragement. The average Christian in our day struggles with attachments, addictions, deliberate venial sins, and even potentially grave sins. It's these kind of sinners who often find themselves slipping into discouragement and even despair. It's these kinds of ordinary sinners who often have to fight the temptation to doubt God's tender love for them. And these are the fortunate ones. These are the ones who at least recognize their sins. But then there's the whole category of sinners who hardly see any sin in themselves. And because of this blindness to their own sins, such people, even more than others, hear about Therese and say, "I don't get her." Now, regarding this latter, more serious kind of darkness, the blindness to one's sin, we'll cover it tomorrow. For today, though, let's look at those who feel they can't relate to Therese on her teaching. Sorry, who feel that they can't relate to Therese or her teaching because they actually struggle with attachments, deliberate venial sins, and maybe even grave sins. Thankfully, Therese anticipated their difficulty. She did so at the end of her autobiography with words we already read on day 10, words that are worth repeating. Quote, "Yes, I feel it. Even though I had on my conscience all the sins that can be committed, I would go, my heart broken with sorrow, and throw myself into Jesus' arms, for I know how much he loves the prodigal child who returns to him." End quote. All the sins that can be committed. Think about that. It's a lot of sin. It includes my sins and your sins. But then to make her point even clearer, Therese goes on, quote, "It is not because God, in his anticipating mercy, has preserved my soul from mortal sin that I go to him with confidence and love." End quote. And with that, her journal ends. The sickness that would take the young nun's life left her too weak to even write. But those last words are extremely telling. Therese is saying to us, "Yes, God kept me from committing mortal sin, but that's not why I feel such confidence in going to him. Even if I were the biggest sinner in the world, I would still go to him with a contrite heart and receive his mercy, and so should you." Therese so strongly wanted to make this point about God's great mercy that even after she'd lost the entire strength to write, she basically pleaded with Mother Agnes to conclude the thought for her. In fact, several times she urged her superior with words such as these, quote, "One could think that it is because I haven't sinned that I have such great confidence in God. Really tell them, Mother, that if I had committed all possible crimes, I would always have the same confidence. I feel that this whole multitude of offenses would be like a drop of water thrown into a fiery furnace. You will then tell the story about the converted sinner who died of love." End quote. In response to Therese's request, here's what Mother Agnes later added to the manuscript, an addition that includes the story about the converted sinner who died of love. Quote, "No, there is no one who could frighten me, for I know too well what to believe concerning his mercy and his love. I know that this whole multitude of sins would be lost in the twinkling of an eye, like a drop of water cast into a burning furnace. In the lives of the desert fathers, it is told how one of them converted a public sinner whose evil deeds were the scandal of the whole country. Touched by grace, the sinful woman followed the saint into the desert to perform a rigorous penance. On the first night of the journey, before even reaching the place of her retreat, the vehemence of her love and sorrow broke the ties binding her to earth, and at the same moment the holy man saw her soul carried by angels to God's bosom. This is a striking illustration of what I want to say, but the reality itself is beyond the power of words to express." End quote. We'll now let these last words of Therese's autobiography be the last words of this day's meditation. May they show us that, in the light of God's merciful love, the darkness of sin, repented sin, is not so dark after all. Today's prayer: Come, Holy Spirit, fire of mercy, let the light of God's merciful love shine into the darkness of my sin. Well, just to appreciate where we are right now and entering into this fourth week and entering into the darkness of Therese's last part of her life. This is a stark contrast from maybe what often is presented about not only Therese, but even any saint. We often as a church don't like to really talk about the struggle or the darkness. And that's unfortunate because that can really make the saints less relatable. And so when most people hear about Therese, most people don't hear about just the incredible crisis of faith that she even had in the midst of this desolation, this time where God was distancing himself from her to be able to allow her to grow in faith and hope and in charity to prepare her for that final martyrdom of love. And so, yeah, to enter into this, that while she was filled with such consolation at making the offering, God took her up on it. God really heard her prayer, her desire to come to the Lord with empty hands, relying only on her love for him and no other grace, no other merits, but really being poor. I don't say that to frighten us, but maybe to encourage us that this is powerful, what we're preparing to then offer in terms of really giving God permission to bring us out of all of our own attachments and sinfulness and everything else, to bring us into this pure offering where we can be freely given to the Father. So, yeah. Do you have you had a hard time relating to St. Therese, who died at the age of 24, whose confessor solemnly declared that she never committed a mortal sin? That can be a tough sell for a lot of people, even the most pious and well-intentioned. But did you catch then Therese's emphasis on her confidence in God's mercy? It's the quote on page 94 there at the bottom, where she says, "Yes, I feel it. Even though I had on my conscience all the sins that can be committed, I would go, my heart broken with sorrow, and throw myself into Jesus' arms, for I know how much he loves the prodigal child who returns to him." So, Therese, in a full appreciation and knowledge of who God is hypersensitive to even the smallest of offenses. And in this, she's also sensitive to just how weak she is, that she could have committed any of the sins of this entire world, which seems a lot. She was so well protected and preserved and given this like streamline just to go right from this holy house of this holy family right into the convent. And yet, let's not forget that the very first sin came from an angel, a pure spirit, Lucifer, one of the most beautiful of seraphim, burning angels, who can't claim ignorance, can't claim that he didn't have full knowledge. No, angels, because they are pure spirit, have all time present to them, because they're pure spirit, have direct access to truth. And so here Lucifer, in seeing the goodness of God, still chose to not serve the author of life, to not serve the God of glory and love, and wanted his own will. And so in that, with full knowledge of the consequence, with full freedom of his will to choose, Lucifer rejected and denied. And so that was just a thought. It wasn't even a physical action or behavior or and like anything else. It was a thought, pure thought, because this is what angels are, pure spirit, a pure thought that caused this division in heaven, to be able to cause this division amongst the angels and to cause even that warfare to be overflow into earth. I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. And so anyway, just to appreciate, Therese is fully aware of her own, how easy it could be for her to fall. Her confidence in God's mercy is because she knows who God is. She knows her own dependence and her own need for that mercy. And that's why she can go full speed with confidence and love into the arms of her merciful Father. And so should we. So should we. So in appreciating our own sinfulness, our own struggles, our own propensity for sin, even the worst of sins, that we can run to the Father for no other reason than it's who he is. And it's in that that we have an invitation to be his, to be fully consumed by that love and that mercy. And so that's where, in our own struggle, in our own frustrations and our own discouragements of trying to break ourselves free and to try and break these habits and to try and sin no more, that we would first appreciate the order of grace and mercy that we first have to receive from him. And in the midst of our own darkness, that we can follow Therese, who went with complete abandonment to the arms of her merciful Father. So just to encourage you to that, in your any darkness that you experience, to find in Therese just a real warrior. She wants to be by your side. She wants to accompany you, remind you of who God is, who you are in his eyes, and that you can, with full surrender and confidence, join her in running to the Father. Come, Holy Spirit, fire of mercy, let the light of God's merciful love shine into the darkness of my sin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Thank you for joining us for this episode. To learn more about Dry Bones Ministries events and initiatives, and to support this podcast, go to drybonespgh.org. Thanks, and God bless you.